word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us that today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time to God. Today is the day to be saved. The Bible never talks about later being a better time to seek salvation, to be right with God. In fact, when the Bible tells us of people who did put off their decision to surrender to Christ until later, they always waited until it was too late. In Acts 24:25, the Bible tells us that Paul reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, and Felix was afraid and he trembled. And he said to Paul, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. I'll call for you later." Now, that convenient time never came. Or the Bible tells us about Agrippa, who said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." But almost is just not good enough. And friend, if you have on your heart a decision that needs to be made about your relationship with the Lord, I pray that your mindset will make that decision now. Don't put off till later the decision that should be now. The Bible never speaks of tomorrow being the day to be saved, because the Bible says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth," Proverbs 27:1. Life can change so drastically and so quickly. The only thing that we have for certain is this present moment in time. And so if there's a decision that we need to make, now is the only certain time that we will have to make it. In our lesson today, we're going to study about all of the things that can happen today when we respond to the plan of salvation. When we say, "Now is the time, I'm ready," there are some wonderful things that can happen. First of all, today is the day to start over. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Isn't that wonderful? The idea of being a new creation. You know, every day is a chance to start over with God. He offers this blessing to anyone and everyone who will respond to it. I don't know what you have in your past. I don't know what sins you've committed, what mistakes you've made. I don't know the people that you've hurt and the damage that you've done. But what I do know is that today is a chance to begin again. Today is a chance to start over with the Lord. Regardless of the past, anyone can become a new creation. Sometimes people think they need to get it together first. You know, I'm going to fix all my bad habits, and I'm going to become more spiritual, and I'm going to become more knowledgeable about the Bible, and I'm going to get my prayer life squared away. And when I get all of my ducks in a row and I get everything together, then I'll turn everything over to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, you're not going to get it together without Christ. You're not going to put all those pieces together on your own. There's just no reason to put off that decision. There's no reason to hide. No reason to delay. Today is the day to start over. Without Christ, you'll You'll always be the old person that you've always been. But in Christ, you can become a new creation. When you hear that word creation, you can't help but think of Genesis 1. That's where the Bible tells us about that first week when God created the world, and each day He created something new, bringing order to the world. And then finally, on day 6, He creates man. And man is the crowning achievement of God's creation, because man is the only creature that He makes in His own image. And then at the conclusion of that first week, the Bible tells us that God said it was very good. Genesis 1:31. Everything was just the way God wanted it to be. But of course, that all changed when sin entered the picture. And really and truly, that same scenario has been repeating itself over and over again in our lives. And this is true of me as it is true of everyone else. In the beginning, when we were born, everything was very good in the eyes of God. We were born in a state of purity and innocence. We didn't even know right from wrong. And everything was just ideal, as it should be in the eyes of God. But when sin entered the picture, that changed. We became a sinner. We became lost. We became doomed because of that sin. And that's why it's so remarkable that this passage is offering us an opportunity to become a new creation. Becoming a new creation is like hitting the reset button and having the opportunity to revert back to the beginning, to go back to that state that we were in when everything was pure and everything was innocent and everything was good. And only Christ can make this happen. We come to Him with the broken pieces of our lives, having ruined what He created us to be. We bring Him those broken pieces, and He puts the pieces back together and makes a new creation that's even better than the original. All the king's horses and all the king's men found that they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And our efforts to put our lives back together don't prove any more successful either. But in the hands of the Master, we can be even better than we once were. And as a new creation, the old sinful things, those old memories of a broken past, they just sort of fade away. When God forgives, He forgets. And in that moment, we will be as new as the day we were born. Isn't that wonderful? Who doesn't want a chance to start over, to start new, to have a relationship with God where He will no longer see the sinner that we used to be in the past, and instead, He will see a new creation and look at us the same way that He looks at Jesus. But in order to become a new creation, we must be in Christ. And that's where our decision comes in. We must make a decision to believe in Christ. The Bible tells us, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. We must believe. And we must be baptized into Christ. See, in order to be a new creation, we must be in Christ. But in order to be in Christ, we must be baptized into Christ. Are you following the prepositions there? If you want to be in something, you have to get into it. And in order to be in Christ, we must be baptized into Christ. That's what Galatians 3:27 says. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Romans 6:3 says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? So I'm asking you, my friend, do you believe in Christ? Have you been baptized into Christ? And if the answer is no, and that's the step that you need to take, to lay aside the old man of the past and to allow God to make you a new creation. That's the step that you need to take. Surrender your faith in Christ and be baptized in His name. Let His blood wash away the past and be raised to walk in newness of life as a new creation. But also, we don't want to give the impression that that's it. You know, once you get baptized, that's it. Your ticket's punched. Don't worry about anything else. Because that's just not really a biblical picture of what God wants from us. In order to be in Christ, we have to enter into Christ through baptism, and then we need to stay in Christ. This is what the Lord called abiding. Like in John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides, notice that, in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Notice the emphasis upon abiding. Just as the branch must abide in the vine. If the branch gets separated from the vine, it's going to eventually die. And so, those who are allow themselves to be separated from Christ will eventually die. We must abide in Him. We can abide in Him by continuing to worship Him, continuing to study about Him, continuing to pray to Him, continuing to serve Him, continuing to let His life be our guide and how we're going to live our lives, staying as close to Him as we possibly can in our minds and in our spirit. Abide in me, He says. You're not going to make it on your own. Abide in me, and I'll help you get there. Today is the day, my friend, not tomorrow, not the next day. Today is the day to start over. And God is offering you that opportunity right here and now. Here's the second thing. Today is the day to be reconciled with God. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this time verses 18 through 21, the Bible says, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So there is a definite emphasis in those verses on reconciliation. Reconcile is a word composed of the prefix re, which means again, and the word conciliate, which means to make friends. So the idea is not just to make friends, but to make friends again. The idea is that we were once friends with God. Again, we were born in a state of purity and innocence, and our relationship with God was undivided in any way, perfectly harmonious. But when sin entered the picture, we went from being the friends of God to being the enemies of God. And the process of reconciliation is the process of taking away our sin so that we can be in perfect harmony with God, to be at peace with Him, and to be friends again. Ezekiel 28:15 says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." That verse vividly describes how life begins in this state of perfection, the state of innocence, and how all of that changes when iniquity or sin enters the picture. When sin enters the picture, it separates us from God. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." So sin creates distance between us and God. We don't have the same friendship that we once had. There's division. There's tension. We've become the enemies of God. But praise be to God that through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled. We can be brought back into harmony with God again. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Now let's pause for just a moment there. Let's slow down and take a breath and just reflect. Where do you stand in your relationship with God today? Do you feel near to Him? Do you feel that He's close? Or does it seem that He's far away right now? Maybe feels like there's a wall between you and God right now. And there's just things happening in your life and the choices that you've made that have gotten in the way. And right now you just feel like you are far away from God. It doesn't have to stay that way. God doesn't want it to be that way. And like Ephesians 2:13 promises, those who are once afar off can be brought near, can be brought close to God by the blood of Christ. But it's only by that blood. The power for this is only in the blood of Christ. And through Jesus, we can be reconciled to God, but not on our own terms. We must surrender to Christ. As we said before, we must believe in Him. We must be baptized into Him. We must continue to abide in Him. And there that amazing grace will change us from an enemy back into a friend of God. God has no desire to impute unto us the things that our sin deserves. This passage in 2 Corinthians 5 uses that terminology, imputing our trespasses. What does that mean? That's not a word that we use every day, but it is used in the Bible. And basically, the idea of imputing something is you put it on someone's account. That's what it means. If someone takes some money and puts it into your bank account, they have imputed that money to you. They've put it on your account. And once it's on your account, you have the freedom to do what you want to do with it. So here's how this works. When Jesus died on the cross, all of our sin was imputed to Him. In other words, God took all of our sin and He put it on Christ's account. And Christ stood guilty, allowing all of the punishment that sin deserved to be executed upon Him. He suffered in agony and died on that cross because He had taken our sin onto His account, and that's what our sin deserved. He was treated by God as though He had actually committed those sins. And the result was that all of those sins have been paid for. God no longer holds them against us. He no longer imputes them unto us. They're no longer on our account. He has erased them. Christ, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. He had no sin of his own on his account, but he took all of our sin on his account. And so now God can treat us as though we have never sinned because we are clothed in his righteousness. And now that we've been reconciled, we can also share that ministry with others. We can help others to be reconciled. We can help others who are enemies of God to become friends of God again. And God has trusted us to help those who are in our circle, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We can implore and entreat them. We can love them and show compassion toward them and teach them so that they can come to know the beauty and the blessing of reconciliation. Friend, you need to understand that God's deepest desire is not to punish sin. I mean, his holiness demands it unless our sin is forgiven. But that it's not his desire. He takes no enjoyment out of that whatsoever. The deepest desire of God's heart is to see people forgiven. God doesn't hold on to a grudge like we do sometimes. He doesn't decide that he wants to just keep on being angry at us and not let go of the past. That's not the way he operates. He's ready now to reconcile. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today is the day to start over. Today is the day to be reconciled unto God. And finally, today is the day to receive God's grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" So today is the day to receive God's grace. As the church, we are working together with God to make sure the sinners can receive his amazing grace. Grace that saves the wretch. Grace that goes out to find those who are lost. Grace that transforms God's enemies into his friends. Our goal is to make sure that his grace is not received in vain. Did you notice that in verse 1? "We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." How is that possible? You know, God's grace is given to everyone, but for some people it will not produce the result that God hopes for. Why is that? Now, some would reason, well, it's because only certain people are among God's elect. Before time began, God chose those who would be saved, and for them, God's grace is irresistible. It will come into their lives no matter what, no matter what they choose or decide to do, God's grace will come into their lives in an irresistible way. But you see, I just can't live with that concept because It makes God a respecter of persons. It says that only a few chosen ones have the opportunity to be saved, and others are just without hope. The Bible just doesn't teach that. God's grace has been revealed to every man. God loves the world, not just a certain group of chosen people. So, how can God's grace be received in vain? What are the circumstances where it would fail to produce the result that God wants? Only this: if I choose not to believe. If I choose not to surrender to the Lord in repentance. If I refuse to be baptized in the name of Christ. If I refuse to abide in Him. Then, just like the branch is cut from the vine and it is burned, so my life will be separated from the Lord, and I will suffer the punishment that my sin deserves. And His grace that He gave to me so amazingly will be in vain. I don't want that. God doesn't ask for the impossible. He doesn't ask us to be perfect, but He does ask us to believe. And He does ask us to surrender our hearts to Him in love and obedience. He asks us to confess our faith and be baptized. And there promises that the blood of Christ will wash away our sins and create in us a new creation. You know, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, we read about an occasion when God's grace took hold of a jailer in the city of Philippi. And the Bible tells us that he went that same hour of the night and washed the stripes of Paul and Silas, and immediately he and all his were baptized. When God's grace took hold of him, there was no delay. He didn't put it off till tomorrow. He didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate. He went that very night, and immediately he gave his life to the Lord. And I'm hoping you'll do the same, my friend. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. And today, you can become a new creation. Today, you can be reconciled to God. And today, you can receive the amazing grace of God that will change you forever. Now that you've heard that message, the next thing for you to do is to surrender your mind in believing, faith. Surrender your heart in repentance. Surrender your mouth in confession. And surrender your body to be baptized into Christ and to live a life of faithfulness and service. My friend, if there's anything we can do to help you take those steps, then we urge you to please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
To my feet and alive.